You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Experience number 310. And on today's show, I'm interviewing the authors of the book, The Consistency Chain, The Missing Link in Network Marketing Success. Now, whether you're a network marketer or any type of solopreneur, you're going to want to listen to this episode if you've struggled at all with being consistent in your life, your fitness plans, any goals, and certainly your business. We're going to dive deep into some really important topics, most specifically the 80-20 rule and how you can overcome any challenges that you might have experienced in the past with consistency. So buckle up, sit down, get out a pen and paper, and get ready for the consistency chain. Welcome to the Street Smart Wealth Experience, how to build a lifestyle business and brand with the best of online, social media, as well as proven offline methods. I'm your host, Jackie Elmer, and I'm a business development and social media strategist. On each show, I'll be sharing tips and tools that I've used to create a multi-million dollar income from home with my laptop and smartphone. You'll also hear success story interviews from other top income earners. I've coached thousands of solopreneurs in direct sales, real estate, network marketing, and other businesses. Let me help you be successful in your business and rock social media. If you don't have Profit in Your PJs, my social media success kit, grab it at profitinyourpjsnow.com. In this free guide, I'll share the core components of a successful social media plan, and you'll stay on top of all the latest updates. Now for today's show. Well, I'm thrilled to be bringing you today's show, as I've already mentioned, and I have to give you a couple of disclaimers first and foremost. The audio is not the best. We recorded this on Zoom, and you'll find out quickly as you begin listening. I was recording this in my living room with 12-foot ceilings, which I don't usually have to use. I have a 7-month-old puppy who barked a couple times in the background, so it certainly wasn't perfect there, but you know what? This is real life and stuff happens, so I figure it's best to be authentic and just show you that sticking with it really does matter. Also, don't forget socialmediabackstagepass.com is open. Join me over there to really rock out your business, to learn everything that I've used on social media to sponsor over 2,200 people into a network marketing business, to sell products and services in over 40 countries, and to become a well-known and sought-after speaker, trainer on social media, success language, good communication skills, and business development. So I wanted to remind you of that for sure. Now, some specific things to pay attention to for today's show. We're going to talk a little bit again about the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle. If you've struggled with this, you're going to love it. We're going to talk about Jerry Seinfeld. We're going to talk about ER goals versus SMART goals, motivation versus momentum, the chain and the consistency in that and not breaking the chain. We'll also share some details about the Navy SEALs. So you're going to learn a lot of really valuable stuff today from people who have walked the walk. Now, one other quick thing, if you haven't joined me in my private Facebook group for building a referral-based business, please join me over there. It's a secret group, so you can't find it. You've got to send me a friend request and then send me a message that says, please add me to the group. So don't just friend request me without sending the message because I won't know to add you to the group. So make sure that you send that message. I'm just facebook.com/Jackie Elmer. All right, so that's it. We're going to get into that interview, and I'm really looking forward to any feedback that you have to share. You can share that on the show notes, jackieelmer.com/310. You can share it on Twitter, @JackieElmer, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever. Let's get into the interview. All right, welcome everybody, and I'm excited to welcome my special guest today, and I know it's an interview that you're going to absolutely enjoy, and probably listen to over and over again. And if you're smart, you're going to refer this out to anyone in your sales organization. If you're a network marketing direct sales company, this is something that you're going to want everybody to listen to because it really is something that everyone can relate to. I'm interviewing the two gentlemen who wrote the book, The Consistency Chain.
And it's kind of funny because over time you realize how important consistency is in anything. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because we're going to get into that in the interview. But what I want to do first is introduce my two special guests. I have George Campbell, who comes to us out of Oklahoma. He has some interesting things, and he's going to share a little bit of his background, but he is a stand-up comedian, so you know this is going to be fun. He also was on 60 Minutes, and he was inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. So there you go. And then I also have my good friend Jim Packard, who has an amazing track record of consistency, consistently being at the top of the charts, whether it's traditional business, a business that he owned. He comes from originally the world of copiers and a very competitive profession, I think, Jim, that you could probably elaborate on a little bit. And so he really was a top producer in that profession, went into network marketing, was a top producer there, and has a lot of different things that he's doing. And so, again, help me welcome George and Jim. You guys, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure being here with you, Jim.
Thanks for having.
Absolutely. So, George, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit of your background beyond what I shared.
Well, I was originally in Oklahoma for about 20 years, and I now live in Tucson because about 5 years ago, the judge said, you know, you're free to leave. And I took off that tracking band and I headed west. And love it out here. I did stand-up comedy for 10 years, everywhere from the Bahamas to Anchorage, Alaska. And then at some point in time, I came up with an idea for a program that didn't fit in the stand-up comedy world. It was stand-up comedy with a better suit. I did a program called Joe Malarkey, the Worst Motivational Speaker in America. And I just came in and I made fun of all the tried, true, traditional things that everybody said. And I had a really nice run with that for about 20 years. So I came up with this idea for this Joe Malarkey show, The Worst Motivational Speaker in America, did it for 20 years, and just kind of got a little tired of doing basically the same show forever and ever. And a couple years ago, I started reading and researching and writing, and a lot of introspection. And I was trying to decide what was it that I really cared about? What was it that was really important to me? And I realized the single greatest obstacle I'd faced in my entire life was lack of consistency. And so I started doing a deep dive on why that is, why I was the way I was. And it was fascinating. And really, I just kind of connected some dots as to why I'm that way. So I had an understanding of it. And then with that understanding, how could I change myself? And using the technique that we talked about in the book, I went from someone who never worked out to someone that completed 531 consecutive days of working out. And that would have been unheard of in my prior life. I've never done anything that consistently. And so we developed the show, and the first few that I did, I realized afterwards there was something missing, because I was having all these people that identified as 80%, what we'll call the 80%, the people that have a challenge with consistency. They came up to me after the program, and it was just all hugs and kisses, because I was the first person that ever validated their life experience from stage. Someone that kind of understood the challenge that they faced. The problem I ran into were the leaders, the people who were naturally consistent. They came up to me and they were looking at me sideways like, you can't be serious. You can't really think the way you're talking. And so that's when I realized what I needed was a partner in this program. I needed someone who was very, very successful, who had an unbelievable track record with consistency, someone who was naturally consistent, a natural leader. And when I made that decision, then the choice was pretty obvious. Jim and I had met several years before, and I knew there was no one across virtually every spectrum of his life that displayed the kind of consistency and the success that I was looking for. And so we, that's how we began this partnership.
Great. Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Jim, tell us a little bit of your background and your perspective on it.
Well, as you we talked earlier, I started a copier business when I was, I think, 26, and grew it pretty large and was able to sell it and retire in my 40s. And then at that point, I was kind of looking for something to do, and I didn't want all the challenges that a traditional business had, Jackie. So network marketing really was attractive to me. And I got involved with network marketing, found out that, you know, I was good at sponsoring people. And I remember that, and we had a pretty large team. And my son Jeff actually hired George to come to an event and speak. And I didn't have any idea who George was. I didn't know he was in the National Speakers Hall of Fame or had been on 60 Minutes or the cover of the LA Times or any of that stuff. But I'm sitting there and I'm laughing at everything he says. And I don't usually laugh at comedians, you know. And I remember going up to him afterwards and saying to George, I said, hey, if you ever need a straight man on stage, let me know. You know, I'd love to do that someday. And about 10 years went by. We kept in touch, okay, over the 10 years, and I saw him about a year and a half ago at another event, which I paid to go see, and I remember going up to George again and saying, hey, listen, keep me in mind, you know, I'm retired, I need something to do, I'd love to be your straight man, and that's when he says, Jim, I've come up with a program that is getting rave reviews, and I need a partner, let's sit down and talk, and Henry Ford once said that when you have two partners that think alike, one's not necessary. Our partnership is necessary. So I found out that we both think differently. So that's how we get together.
Well, I love that. So basically what we're talking about here is something that many people have heard before, and that's the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule. Most of us have heard of that.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about how that applies not just to network marketing, but all of life, because even as you shared, George, and I know this is part of your story as well, Jim, you know, working out consistently, doing anything consistently. I mean, we all know really, or we should, I mean, if we really think about it, it's consistency that really creates success for us in almost anything. So talk to us a little bit about how it applies to network marketing and then all of life as well, and what we can learn from that, especially for those in our profession.
Well, I'll go first on this one, George,
sure.
Okay?
Sure.
From a network marketing standpoint, Jackie, as you know, if you're sponsoring people into your business and you sponsor 10 people, we're very fortunate if we have two people that have any significant type of success. And that's 2 out of 10, right? Which is your 20%. And if you're good at sponsoring people, you just keep on sponsoring. But a lot of people aren't as good at sponsoring, you know, it might take them 3 or 4 or 5 months to sponsor 10 people. And when they don't have the success, obviously they drop out. And I always used to chalk it up to that perhaps they were, didn't have a big enough why, or they were lazy, or they didn't have the discipline. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And which George has really opened my eyes on that. So from a network marketing standpoint, the 80-20, I mean, really fits in beautifully. And George, I'll let you take off on that.
Well, and this kind of where my research started and my thinking about this started, because I had a client years ago say that back when I was doing my other program, saying that, you know, their company was a traditional, it was a sales-based company, and 80% of their sales came from 20% of their salespeople, 20% of their sales came from 80. And he says, how can we shift those numbers? And at the time I was doing a straight comedy show, and I'm like, I can't help you. I have no idea how to move those numbers. And it was a conversation I never forgot. And as I started doing the research, I came drawn back into this Pareto thing, and everybody's kind of looked at Pareto from the top down, from an organizational standpoint. How do I get those 20% people that generate 80% results? How do I get those 20% customers that generate 80% revenue? And maybe because of the way I felt about myself, I looked at it from the bottom up, which was, what is the difference between these 80%, the 20% high performers and the 80% lower achievers? And when you look at it across the board, I just eliminated the things that were in common. Intelligence, that's in both groups. Education, talent, ability, skills, even ambition is really equally present in both groups. So then what do you, the key differentiating factor is this, the 20% do needs to be done when it needs to be done on a relentlessly consistent basis. And the 80% know what needs to be done, but they don't do it consistently. And so that's where this 80-20 divide comes in. It's not really a principle as much as it just boils down to, are you naturally inclined to be consistent or are you naturally inclined to be inconsistent? And as I'm reading and doing more research, another study came up that it was a test done back in the 1970s called the marshmallow test. And I had heard about this a million times where they took little kids into a room, set a marshmallow in front of them and said, listen, the researcher said, listen, I'm going to leave. And if I come back in 15 minutes and the marshmallow is still there, I'll give you a second marshmallow. And it's a classic test of the innate ability to either delay gratification or to cave into instant gratification. And the kids that were able to not eat marshmallow, to delay gratification, anybody want to guess what the number was percentage-wise?
I'm going to guess 20.
20%. 20%. 80% caved into instant gratification. And when you start thinking about it, instant gratification and consistent and inconsistency go hand in hand. They're the same thing. I cannot be consistent if I do not have the ability to delay gratification because it's that long-term process that yields the results. And if I'm inclined towards instant gratification, I'm never going to build that long-term sustained effort. So the thing, what this told me was at least by age 5 and probably before then, 80% of us are wired towards instant gratification. 80% of us are wired towards inconsistency. And so it isn't like it's just a willpower thing. Well, I'm just going to decide to go. No, we're fighting something much more concrete than that. We're literally fighting the way we're wired in our brains. And then the third part that came out that gave me hope was I started reading all this stuff on neuroplasticity and the ability to rewire the brain. And when I first started talking about this, I thought I may be overselling what we can do. And then the more that I read a book, just finished a book the other day called, I'm going to mangle the title, but it's basically The Way the Brain Heals Itself. And the breakthroughs they're making in neuroplasticity are absolutely mind-blowing. It is just, we haven't even touched the surface of what we have the ability to do. So then, you know, I just, with those kind of, those little dots, we connected those dots, why we are the way we are and what the solution is, which is neuroplasticity, then we, you know, we have hope of changing someone who's naturally inconsistent into becoming consistent, which is the reason why I was able to work out for 531 straight days in a row.
Well, I love it. And one of the things that, a couple of things, and take these in the order that you want, but one thing that really jumped out at me was understanding the difference between motivation and momentum. So talk a little bit about how that plays into it, because it's like you say, you know, the groups, they're equally as talented, equally as smart, equally as educated. They have big whys, but that motivation versus momentum, that spoke to me a lot.
Well, sure. Jim, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll take it, because one of the things that you come to realize, Jackie, is that even though somebody like yourself is a 20 percenter and George is in certain areas, we're also 80 percenters in a lot of different areas as well. And one of the areas that I've always been an 80 percenter in is my health. And you know, I have been married 48 years. I've had successful businesses and I've built teams and things in that line, but I've always been not so good on the health wise. So when I started looking at the consistency chain, and by the way, George, I started it October 13th, Friday the 13th, and here it is today, Friday the 13th. That's kind of interesting. And now I've actually, when I heard that George had done exercise every single day, 45 minutes a day, I said, well, I can do that. So I started walking every day for 3 miles, and I've now done 256 days out of 274. All right. And quite frankly, that's at 94%. I'm happy with that. And when you first get started, you have to get motivated. I mean, you have to have, my goal really was to just to have some credibility for the book. And now it's reached a point where I have that momentum. When I get up and if I find a day where I don't go out walking, I feel terrible the entire day. I feel guilty. I feel disappointed in myself. So at this point, I have momentum going for me. I know I'm going to get up and go walking 3 miles every single day. It's going to happen like clockwork. But I had to be motivated, and it took me, you know, and Chris, in our book, we stressed that, you know, give us 3 days. And it took me a while to, you know, to get that motivation and start it. But now the momentum has taken over. And now it's just a matter, it's not a matter if I'm going to do it. It's just what time I'm going to do it.
Very good. George, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, just it's fascinating. We talk about the 80-20 thing because you may have areas of your life where you're a 20% hard charger, but you also may have some areas of your life that you just haven't been able to get a handle on the way you would like, which Jim is a perfect example of this, where when Jim and I started talking, he showed me his goal sheets, which he is unbelievably goal-oriented and unbelievably meticulous about keeping records and everything. And he showed me goal sheets going back for 30 years that every year the goal was to lose weight. And in this one area of his life, the techniques that he used with unbelievable success in every other area absolutely failed him. And so we just changed just a little bit different mindset. We simplified it, made it very clear, and it's made all the change in the world. And that's really exciting. And that's one of the reasons why when we talk to leaders, you know, we kind of stress this, that yes, you may be great at this, but there may be some area of your life, you know, that even this would apply to, even though it doesn't seem right. It seems like, well, gosh, if I was so great over here, why can't I just bring that in to this area of my life and have it work? And it also is the reason why when Jim would try and help people with his systems and graphs and charts and all this stuff, he would bring that. If he brought that to somebody like me in a business, I'm out. I can't relate to it. It overwhelms me and it's not going to work for me. And much the way, same way it didn't work for him in just this one area of his life. And the momentum thing is something I never really experienced because I was never consistent long enough to achieve momentum. I mean, I was in the same network marketing business you guys were. You had unbelievable success. I didn't because I never put the consistent effort into the point where I started to see the results, and then the results start to snowball. And momentum is a force at that point. Momentum, you don't even have to worry about being motivated because momentum carries its own motivation. You know, when you have to call you instead of you calling them and you start to see financial rewards and that starts to build, then you get to ride instead of push. And that's so much more fun. I mean, I knew I changed into momentum when I got up one morning and it was no longer a question of, am I going to work out? Now the question is, what workout are we going to do? And that you take that decision off your plate, and now it's no longer a decision. It's not something you do, it's something you are. And it's fabulous to feel that force instead of constantly trying to rev up momentum every day. There's going to come a day where you're not when there's no motivation. And that's the day that you're going to fall back on, you know what, I'm not going to break the streak.
Right.
We're going to keep going. The momentum's too much. It's going to push me through lack of motivation.
And it does make such sense. And I, you know, one of the other things that really captivated me in the book, and I had to laugh because George, you were the one who wrote, it's like SMART goals, Never can quite remember what the R stands for. Me either. I think it's relevant, but I'm not positive. But then I heard the ER goal, like the ER goals. Oh my gosh, that was absolutely so insightful. And it was kind of like that. I had a V8 moment. It's like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. So talk to us about ER or ER goals and what that means, because I think that's going to really, unlock some things for people as they're listening to this or watching this, because many of us in different things, we get motivated. You attend a company convention or you, it's New Year's and you set the resolution to lose weight or whatever. We get motivated. We do all these different things and then we get home or whatever and reality sets in and that motivation goes away. We don't have momentum yet, but if we just had those ER or ER goals, it makes a difference. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, this goes back to kind of the mindset of 80% of us who have a challenge with late gratification, because the traditional goals that we set, I mean, are by definition delayed gratification. They're far out there. They're something we're not going to reach immediately. We're not going to see us close the distance very much on any given time. So actually, it's funny because for people like me, the bigger the goal, the further it is out there, the less excited I am about it because I just don't see any progress towards it. And because I've never been successful at hitting goals, I get discouraged very easily. I mean, a goal is the embodiment of delayed gratification, which I'm not good at. So what we figured out is let's just set goals to the side for people like me. And what we're going to do is set directions. And so when I started working out, my goal, if you want to call it that, was not to weigh a certain amount on a certain date. It was not to run some race of this distance. It wasn't any of those traditional kind of goals that we tend to set for ourselves. My goal was very, very, very short term. My goal was I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be fitter. And I would go to the gym, and I can make a strong case that when I get back from the gym, I am healthier, I am fitter, I am stronger. And so what I've done is I have satisfied my unbelievable, insatiable desire for instant gratification. I won. I won today. It doesn't matter. Anybody who's smart is going to agree that we're headed in the right direction. Now, how far I'll go down that road and what's it's going to look like at the end, I don't know. All I know is that I won today and I'm headed in a direction I want to go in. And so for me, it was unbelievably empowering. I never set out to work out 531 days in a row because it would have been ridiculous. For someone like me, that's absolutely insane. I've never been able to do anything like that. It would have been stupid. And if I said I'm going to work out 531 days, on day three, I would have quit because, my God, I'm only 3 days. What are we down to, 529 or something? That's ridiculous. I would have quit. All I did was work out today. That's all I did. I just have to win today. This is the only day I have to win. And if people would ask me, are you going to work out tomorrow? I would say, no. I'm just going to work out today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist for me. I just have to win today. And because of that thinking, what I was able to do was work out today and today and today, 531 straight days in a row. And it was, and there was never any pressure. There was never any guilt or fear or anxiety about the length of what I'm going to do. I'm just winning today. It was unbelievably empowering. It turned me around. It turned me from inconsistent to consistent to constant.
And when I first heard that, Jackie, and when I first heard George's explanation of the ER goals, and for a long time I'd been frustrated that I can reach goals in so many other areas, but not in physical fitness and weight loss, I'm thinking, can it be that easy? All I have to do is just work out today, just do one thing today. So I started my calendar. Okay, you can't see it really, but every day I put a W in it for win. Okay. And I write down, I am fitter. I am ER, which means I am eating right. Right. And I am a pusher. I get down and do push-ups every day. I'm a sitter. I get down and do sit-ups every day. And this is, and I am so tempted, all right, to have a chart and a graph and colors and all that stuff. But I'm saying, no, I'm going to go with this, all right? And like George says, what if it takes you a year? I mean, so what? And so I am doing this, and like, I mean, I'm really proud that I've done 256 days of walking 3 miles, you know, every day. I mean, and prior to starting this, I would walk here and walk there, and nothing would be consistent. And it's really, if nothing else, I haven't lost the weight that I wanted to yet. However, I went to the doctors recently. I didn't tell you this, George, but my blood pressure usually is 170 over 100. And now it's like 122 over 80. And so I'm really happy, all right? So, but it's something as crazy as just today. And George, I think you relate it really well to the Navy SEAL example.
Right.
And I should probably talk about it because
yeah, the,
I watched Hawaiian 5-0, but you go ahead.
Well, I've got a tremendous affinity for the Navy SEALs. I think we're making all these superhero comic book movies when we have real life superheroes walking among us. But I was reading and studying, and I watched a number of videos on the Navy SEALs, and I found it fascinating that you have to qualify to just go to their school, just to try out. You've got to complete fitness tests and mental exams and all this kind of stuff just to get the chance to go to what they call BUDS training, basic underwater demolition / SEALs training. And it's about three to five weeks long, depending upon when you did it. And do you want to guess the number of people that don't make it?
80%.
Only 80%. 80% of these highly qualified people will wash out, will leave their own accord. So to only even there among the highest performers, the 80-20 thing comes in. So I was listening and reading books, and the mindset of the people that make it, you can tell. You could talk to somebody and just point. After 2 minutes of conversation, that guy's going to make it. That guy's going to go home. Because the guys will be there. There'll be two guys doing push-ups pre-dawn while they're spraying water on them and yelling at them. And one guy will think, oh, I'm still sore from yesterday. I'm exhausted. There's no way. I don't know how long I can do this. I still have 4 weeks left. 4 weeks. There's no way I can do 4 weeks of this. There's no way. No human being can do 4 weeks. And if I can't do 4 weeks, what's the point in torturing myself now? I might as well just, I should just quit. I should save everybody else. I should just quit. I should quit today. I should quit now. And they're gone. And the guy beside him is sitting there, and he has the same aches and the same pains. He's in the same misery as the other guy. He's saying, I don't know how long I can do this. I don't know that I could do this for 4 weeks. I do know this. I can make it to breakfast. I'll just make it to breakfast. Because when I go to breakfast, I'm going to get some food. I'll get warmed up. I'll feel better. I'll just make it to breakfast. And then when he gets done with breakfast and they get back out there, his goal is not 4 weeks. It's too far away. It's too disempowering. It's too unrealistic. His goal is, I'm going to make it to lunch. I'm going to make it to midday. I'm going to get through this day. And the reality is the way the guys that make it is because they just make it to breakfast day after day after day. And if you make it to breakfast enough days in a row, they pin a Navy SEAL Trident on your chest. And the fascinating thing was, all the special forces guys have gotten so much, we use them so much now in so many areas around the world, that they wanted to increase the number of SEAL population that they had. And they wanted to make the pipeline a little bit wider so they would get more guys through. So they lowered the weeks of training, the initial training from 5 weeks to 3 weeks. And when they did, what they found was it made absolutely no difference, because it's not the difficulty of the task that determines whether or not you're going to succeed. It's the mindset of the person going through it. The same guys that were going to succeed at 5 weeks to succeed at three, and the guys who were going to wash out at five were going to wash out at three. So it's just that little tiny, I just have to win today. And you can, you know, we both of us kind of started out with fitness and weight loss goals as the beginning point. I've since moved on into more business goals, which is, you know, you can think about the application of this. If you're in a direct sales company or a network marketing company, especially network marketing, I think about that. What kind of a difference would it have been in my network marketing business if my goal was just simply to reach out one time a day to one person with saying a presentation, you know, an offer, would you be interested in seeing what I'm doing? Just one day after day after day. And it builds that momentum. And in, it was funny. We were at a program the other day. It's a big network marketing company, and people. One guy, a guy was up there, and he was talking about, you know, you need to be hitting, you need to be reaching out to 20 people a day. That's how you know you're in this business. And I was sitting there going, I would never be in this business then, because there's no way. That's beyond my possibility. I couldn't do that. I could reach out to one person a day. If I know that's all I have to do, and that represents success to me, I could do that. I could win that. I could make that breakfast every single day. And I would much rather have 20 people reaching out to one person a day than one person reaching out to 20. But for one thing, everybody that, if I'm talking to somebody and I say, what are you doing to be successful? He says, I talk to 20 people a day. I'm like, I can't do that. But if I talk to somebody and I say, what are you doing to be successful? And they say, I teach people how to talk to one person a day. I'm like, okay, I can sign up that. That makes sense to me. That seems achievable and believable to me.
Absolutely. I love that. I was wanting to bring that back around to how that might fit in with network marketing, and you did it beautifully. So thank you. Or anything, whether you're in real estate, you know, and you need to be calling prospects. Yeah. I mean, sales in general, right? I mean, that's the name of the game. That's what we do. We have to put our offer, whatever it is, out in front of people. So great. So talk to me then, and talk to us a little bit about the chain and how that fits in with momentum. And then the concept of not breaking the chain, or if the chain does break, because face it, chains break, right?
Right. Yep. Yep. That's they absolutely do. I mean, I went 531 days in a workout chain, and finally I got hit with flu that put me in bed. And so the chain was, I thought, oh my God, the chain broke. And realistically at that point in time, it was just an interruption. As soon as I was well, I was back out, because, and I don't even, and it was kind of a nice thing that happened at that time, because I didn't have to track it anymore. I no longer follow the tracking system that I did to develop it. So let me backtrack for a second. So I did stand-up comedy for 10 years, and I saw an interview with Jerry Seinfeld. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay, I ran into Jerry back in the day, and I'd be curious. And he said, he was talking about a young comic that came up to him and said, how do I become Jerry Seinfeld? And he said, okay, well, first of all, that's not the goal. He said, I never set out to become Jerry Seinfeld. I never thought of the estate on Long Island and the 56 Porsches and the, you know, all the other stuff. He said, my goal when I started was to be a better comic. And again, we're back to an ER goal, a better comic. And he said, I wanted to become a better comic, and I decided that the highest value activity I could engage in to achieve that was I was going to write jokes every day. Every single day, I'm going to write jokes, and that's going to make me a better comic. And so he wrote jokes the first day, and he had a calendar, and he went to that date on the calendar and put an X. He wrote jokes the second day, he put an X. Now, the genius of Jerry Seinfeld was that he didn't see two X's on the calendar. He saw a chain of two links. Day three, he had one goal. Don't break the chain. Very simple. Very simple. When we're talking about rewiring our brain, it has to be very simple. It has to be very specific. You can't have 47 permutations of a goal. You're trying to rewire. You're trying to build these connections. And so don't break the chain. Don't break the chain. It was very simple. The next day when he woke up and he thought I should write, he wrote, building that super highway between impulse and action, so it becomes automatic. And over the years, the reason why Jerry Seinfeld is Jerry Seinfeld, we call this the $800 million idea, because that's what he got paid when he sold the syndication rights to his sitcom. And that was nothing more than the long-term compound interest on consistency. It's the I mean, I knew a lot of comics, heck, I was one of them, who being a comic is about the easiest job in the world. It's 23 and a half hours a day off. I mean, it's as close as you can get to unemployment. And because of that, you tended to, you know, maybe I'll write, maybe I won't write, maybe I'll go to the movies, maybe we'll go to the mall, whatever it is. And while we were doing that, Seinfeld was writing every single day. And that's the reason why Seinfeld ended up where he ended up, and where the majority of us, you know, did not reach nearly those heights. And it was nothing more than this simple, simple idea of don't break the chain. And that's why, and when we've referred to this a number of times now, but that's it. I've got one of the things that's proudest of, I'm more proud of than anything else in my office, is I have that first year of this consistency chain, day after day after day after day after day. I'm in the Speaker Hall of Fame, and I've got a little trophy that comes with that. I never look at that. That's a nice thing, and it's a nice honor, and I appreciate it. But the thing I'm proudest of are 12 calendars with every single day marked off, because I know what that represents to me. That represents an achievement that I didn't think I was capable of.
Yeah, I think when you're first starting on a chain, Jackie, I think it's important not to break the chain, but who's kidding who? It's going to reach a point where that chain's going to get broken or get broke. And if you've done whatever activity you've done long enough, momentum is going to be enough to carry you so that you don't allow yourself to miss 2 days in a row. And the other day, in fact, George and I got together down in Tucson, and I got up at 4 o'clock to leave to get down there real early, and I didn't go walking that day. I felt guilty the entire day. I said, well, okay, I'll walk when I get back, because we had dust storms and monsoons, and so that wasn't going to go happen. But I also knew that I've walked enough now so that I knew my chain was going to continue the next day. But it's okay. I mean, call it plan B, whatever you had to. During the second month that I started my chain, I fractured my ankle and I couldn't walk. So I had to go do something else. So I fasted for a few days, which was even tougher than walking.
Yeah.
But so it's going to happen. And if you're in a network marketing business, and you're reaching out to, I try to talk to one person every day, but if I don't talk to one person every day, I mean, I reach out to two. So it's, and just a matter of continually doing it, but momentum does catch up to you and will carry you through those spots. So you just got to get started. That's the key.
It's true. And, I can attest to that myself. Just once you do get that momentum going, you can take a day off. And you do feel guilty typically, or you feel out of sorts. And then that the next day you're going to pick back up and you're going to do what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
And that's the key, though, is getting yourself to that point of momentum.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I can take a rest day any day that I choose now from working out. I just can't take two in a row. That's my little tiny rule.
Yeah.
And it was funny, when I was in the middle of the workout, I was actually talking with a physical therapist, and he says, you're overtraining. You've got to take rest days. This isn't really the best way to go about this. And I told him, I said, what you have to understand is I'm not training my body. I'm training my mind. My body is just the vehicle for this right now. That it's possible that I would get more results with some rest days, but right now with my mindset, I can't take rest days. I'm not there yet. And so it was a very conscious decision that, yeah, I may have to push my body a little harder than it really ought to be, but I'm pushing my mind the exact right amount.
Perfect. So George, tell us then, from your perspective, How can 20 percenters relate better to the 80 percenters? What can we do that bridges the gap, avoids making people feel guilty, or, you know, that kind of thing? Talk to us a little bit about being better in business or any type of partnership.
I think the first thing you have to internalize is that we are different than you. I mean, that was the thing for Jim. I mean, Jim had not a tough time, but it took a little bit of time to realize that we were very different. And what works for you as a 20% leader, you could take that entire toolkit and hand it to somebody like me, and I'm not going to be able to do it. So, and I think that's the toughest realization, because if you're able to do something, well, why can't that person? I'm like, well, come on, so you have to understand we are very, very different. And so if Jim was going to work with me, Jim was going to have to come, we're going to have to meet at my level. And all the stuff that he's done, all the charts and graphs and all that stuff, he needs to hold off on that. I'm not ready for that. So he has to come down. Go ahead, Jim.
And I was just going to say, George, that's the one eye-opening thing. Because when we first met, I said, why do you need me, George? You don't need me here doing this. And I would look at people like George that were in, and George wasn't on my team, Jackie, but I had other very talented speakers on my team. And I'd look at these people and go, my goodness gracious, why don't they, I can't believe that they're not more successful. Why don't they just follow the same charts and graphs that I've laid out? I didn't realize that people were wired that differently until I looked at myself and realized I haven't accomplished my goal in health, and yet I've tried to apply all the same techniques before. It is so eye-opening. I look back now and look at all the people that I should have been a much better leader. We could have taken that part of that 80%, maybe 20% of that 80%, George, and help those people reach their, you know, some success. And what a difference that would have made for, you know, the company, the individual, as well as ourselves as leaders. And this has been very eye-opening, working with George, and realize that we're not wired the same way.
Oh, I was just going to say that your original question is, how can the 20% leader help the 80%? The first thing that I would suggest, if you're a 20% leader and you have any area of your life that you've struggled with getting consistency and control over, start with yourself, because it will be eye-opening and revelatory. And the other thing is, once you do that, then you're in a much better position to talk to me, because now you can come to me and say, listen, you know, I've really had some nice, this other area I've struggled with, and maybe you can relate to this, and this is what I did to solve that problem. Does that sound like something that you might be able to apply in your business? As I, you know, my health was an issue, and I walk every single day, and it's just a commitment that I make to just to win that day. If we were to look at our business, you know, do you think it would be possible for you to reach out to just one person every day? Would that be something that you could do? And then just to help model that behavior and come to it with a better understanding and a better way to support somebody's efforts.
I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's doable, certainly. And I think that what you both have said is accurate, that I think that we could see a big shift, not just in the network marketing profession, but in all areas of anyone's life when they're focused on the ER goal and not breaking the chain, creating that momentum, and just, you know, today's the win. Today is the immediate gratification, and we'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow becomes today. But for right now, tomorrow doesn't even exist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, the exciting thing is, when we started this out, it was theory based on Jim and I's experience. You know, we both had our personal experience that validated this for he and I. But what's happened is if we've gotten the book out there, we've had an opportunity to talk, then we're starting to get back to testimonials and people who implemented this, and it made a tremendous difference. And that's been the most satisfying thing, because my heart is with those people, because I'm that person. I'm that person that absolutely struggled and could not understand why. I know I could do this. I know I can, and yet I'm not able to do it. And we're starting to see those stories come in. We had a friend of ours in Boston that was at the very bottom of a sales group, and a traditional sales group selling advertising. And she, in 45 days, she went from the low 700s to number one. And she's been in the top 14, 15 since then. And it was nothing more than just everyday consistent effort. And we've got so many stories like that now that's what's really exciting to me. That's the reason why we're so looking forward to increasing our reach, because I think there's people out there that are like me that really have what it takes, except for just the ability to put it into play consistently.
Makes total sense. Well, the book again is The Consistency Chain. And tell us how we can get that and contact you for more information and how we can find you out there.
Well, right now you can go to our website, consistencychain.com, and you can order the book from our website. Very shortly, George, I'd probably say within the next 30 days, we're going to have an entirely new website up, as well as an app that will help with tracking your progress. So we're very excited about that. George, anything you want to add to that?
No, we're in the very beginning part of this, and it's taken a while, but man, I just, the people that we talked to and the response we're getting, it's the most exciting time of my life. I know it's got to be Jim's.
Yeah, just knowing you, you know, I'm learning so much from you, George.
Well, that's great. I love that. And, you know, I mean, it is so true. We talk about in network marketing that really and truly it's a personal growth and development type of business. But, you know, that's really life, too. I mean, ideally, I would hope that our goal in life is just to consistently get better day to day. So, I mean, it is exciting, and it's exciting to be part of that, not only for yourself, but to see.
And in all transparency, sharing the bad audio, I do not know what happened to the very end as we were signing off and saying goodbye. So that's really the end of it. We were just, you know, wrapping up final thoughts, and I don't know what happened to Zoom. It definitely cut it off. So it was interesting. All right, so hopefully you've gotten some great nuggets out of what's been shared here in the experience with Street Smart Wealth. Again, I would love any comments that you have. Please send them to me on Twitter at Jackie Almer. You can follow me on Instagram at Jackie Almer. Certainly on Facebook, Street Smart Wealth. And of course, on the show notes, jackiealmer.com/310. Make sure that you get the Consistency Chain, read it, understand it, whether you're an 80%er or a 20%er, the information definitely applies to all of us. And we all need to know whichever side of the fence that we're on so that we can be supportive either way. That's it for today's show, and I will see you on the next one. For more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com, my social media success kit. Stop struggling with social media and start succeeding. I'll break it down for you into bite-sized pieces that make sense. You can also get more at my blog, jackiealmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Instagram, at Jackie Almer. And join me at socialmediabackstagepass.com for complete business plan development and social media coaching and training. I'll see you on the next show.